Why I Cry More at 80, a deep dive into the phenomenon. At the young age of 80, I've noticed a surprising shift. Tears come more easily than they used to, as if emotions have found a quicker path to the surface. It does not take much for me to get teary-eyed. I get gushy. Tears may roll down my cheeks. My breath shortens. I sometimes have to fight to choke back sobs. But I want to be clear. I do not sob, bawl, or openly weep, wail, or howl. I'm not blubbering. I'm not bursting into tears. I'm not crying a river. I'm not letting the floodgates open. Tears are not streaming down my face. However, it seems that almost anything will bring a tear to my eyes. And then there's a good chance that one or two will roll down one of my cheeks. In the face of all these tearful moments, I've begun to ask myself, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? Let's look at some of the instances where these teary-eyed moments occur. I've always been emotive, but it just seems that I'm being even more so now. For example, during the Netflix series starring Ted Danson called A Man on the Inside, there were several moments in there where Danson speaks at the celebration of the life ceremony for Florence, or the moment when he speaks with Gladys after she's entered the memory care unit of a senior citizen facility. Another instance, watching movies at the recent Palm Springs International Film Festival. There were at least four films that really moved me. One of them, Bob Trevino Likes It, is a witty and touching story where the young woman discovers that family is not just the people we're born to, but the connections we make along the way. Her surprising bond with a stranger challenges the traditional notion of family and shows us that love and understanding transcend biology. This film left me reflecting on the unexpected relationships in my own life, those moments when strangers became friends and friends became family. Or another time when I was reading out loud on my podcast the last two paragraphs of my blog that were about my three-year-old granddaughter beating me handily in bowling. Here's what I said in those podcasts. My granddaughter, Edie, wasn't thinking about beating me. She was thinking about having fun. She wasn't comparing herself to me. She was living fully in the moment. And isn't that what life at any age is supposed to be about? So yes, I lost to a three-year-old. And yes, part of me still winces at the thought. But a bigger part of me feels lucky. Lucky to have been there. Lucky to have shared that moment with her. And lucky to have been reminded that sometimes the best victories aren't measured in numbers. Next time we go bowling, I'll still try my hardest, but I'll also try to channel a little more of her unfiltered joy and maybe, just maybe, care a little less about the final score. Another example is when I've been watching TV lately, particularly the travesty and the utter devastation from the catastrophic wildfires in the Los Angeles area, where I lived and worked for 6 years in the 90s. Several of the individual heartbreaking personal stories touched me, as has the raw emotion shown by some of the first responders, firemen, and their leaders. Or I'll give you another example. Every time I give a speech, at some point during the speech, I always share the story of why I started the Edge Foundation some 20 years ago. As I do so, I inevitably break down a little bit, tears coming into my eyes, struggling to keep it together. Here's the story I tell. The day after I sold my company following a very eclectic, successful career, I was driving my, at the time, 17-year-old daughter, Kelsey, to school. She asked me what I was going to do next with my life. I told her I had no idea. I told her that I was looking for my next passion. After a long, long silence, my daughter piped up and said, "Dad, I know what you ought to do. You ought to do for other kids what you've done for me and my brother." I couldn't speak. I was so overcome. Kelsey had seen my future. It was so simple, so powerful. I decided right then to start a foundation to help young people with challenges similar to what my kids were faced with, being neurodivergent with a learning disability, dyslexia, and ADHD. Or here's another example. Listening to a song or a piece of music that brings back memories, such as My Girl, sung by The Temptations. That was a song that my daughter Kelsey and I danced to as the father-daughter dance at her wedding some 10 years ago. Or finally, when I take a moment to reflect and lament the passing of so many of my friends and relatives. And it's not just the passings, but it's also the movements into memory care. So very sad, and some very real losses. Frankly, I'm not sure how to explore this phenomenon, tearing up at the drop of a hat. Clearly, it's a moment of self-reflection. I'm trying to keep track of when and why I cry, looking for patterns and what triggers my tears. I guess I could do some research about the science and cultural history of crying. For example, consider if age-related changes in the brain, such as reduced inhibition or heightened empathy, might explain why I'm more prone to tears. Or check into how different societies view crying. Some celebrate it as a healthy emotional release, while others may stigmatize it, particularly for men. I could do some research on the psychological and emotional dimensions of crying. Look into why we cry. Reflect on the common emotional triggers for crying, such as nostalgia, gratitude, or unresolved feelings. Or check into empathy and sensitivity. As we age, do we become more attuned to the emotions of others, making their joys and sorrows feel more personal? Or look into the cathartic effect. Perhaps crying is a way of releasing the weight of accumulated experiences. Or I could explore the role of memory and reflection. At 80, I might be reflecting on life's milestones, joys, and losses. This reflective state can naturally lead to tears as I revisit poignant moments. Or look into nostalgia and gratitude. These emotions often evoke tears because they're tied to deep, complex feelings of appreciation and longing. Another option is to talk to my listeners, my friends, my family, or even professionals to get their perspectives on crying. I'd like to hear from you, from friends, family, and listeners, about your experiences with crying. Do you find it cathartic or embarrassing? Have you noticed changes as we've aged? Bottom line, crying may be simple, a tear here, a sob there, but it carries profound meaning. It connects us to our past, our loved ones, and even our humanity. I don't have all the answers yet, but I'm eager to keep exploring. If you've noticed changes in how you cry, I'd love to hear your story. I would appreciate your thoughts.
Be sure to subscribe to Meandering Musings wherever you get your favorite podcasts. For more about Neil Peterson and to read more Meandering Musings and travel essays, visit meanderingmusings.net. Like the podcast? Please help us grow our listenership. Tell your friends about Meandering Musings and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.